Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this third Sunday of Advent prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we continue in our Advent series, Christmas at the Movies. And the aim of this series is to go looking for Jesus in some of our favorite Christmas movies. The aim of this series is to open our ears to hear the invitation that we find in these great films, invitation to take a journey toward deep transformational change. And this week, we consider that Christmas classic, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Before being produced as a movie in 1966, How the Grinch Stole Christmas was a book written in 1957, of course, by Dr. Seuss. The film's adaptation of Seuss's book was narrated by the famous actor Boris Karloff, who was well known for his portrayal of Frankenstein in a number of movies in the 1930s. It was perfect having an actor like Karloff narrate this movie, since he knew something, he knew a thing or two about monsters. And that's where the story begins, a monster by the name of the Grinch, who lives high above the hills of a tranquil little village called Whoville. This movie, whether you've seen it or not, is so embedded in our culture today that if you were to try to describe a certain personality of some people, you could simply sum it up with one word. That person acts like a Grinch. And you know what that means? That means that this person is grouchy, unpleasant, often negative. It is this green, grouchy, unpleasant, and negative monster that is all worked up because of the happiness of others. He's not happy at all by the people of Whoville. The people of Whoville who are expressing great cheer in the days leading up to Christmas. So he comes up with a plot to try to steal Christmas away from the residents of Whoville. Then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room, and he took every present. Pop guns and bicycles, roller skates and drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn and plums. And he stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch very nimbly stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimbley. Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who's pudding. He took the roast beast. Then he cleaned out the icebox as quick as a flash. Why that Grinch even took their last can of Who-hash. Well, in the end, is the Grinch's plot to heist Christmas, is it successful? Well, I know there might be one person in this sanctuary who hasn't actually seen the movie or read the book, so I never want to be surprised for giving away the plot of a great story. But let me encourage you in these days before Christmas to grab some popcorn, grab some soda, grab your kids, grab your grandkids, watch this holiday classic. It's a short one. And ponder the question that Dr. Seuss is asking as he tells this story. And this is the question that's asked by this great story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Will I choose to live my life as a small-hearted Grinch, or on the other hand, will I make the choice to live my life as a large-hearted Who? Am I going to live like the Grinch, two times undersized-hearted Grinch, or am I going to live life as one of the residents of Whoville, a community of people who possess abounding hearts, huge hearts? Dr. Seuss frames this soul-shaping question, and this is how the Reverend Dr. Paul the Apostle, writing to this ancient congregation in the city of Ephesus. This is how Paul asks this basic question millennia before Dr. Seuss asks it of us. He's asking the same question, in essence, to Christian people. Will you live as a Grinch or a who? But his metaphor is different. Paul's frame is different. So this is the apostle's question. How are you going to dress, choose to dress today? Are you going to put on those old, tired, ragged, and soiled clothing of this sin-saturated world? Or are you going to choose to put on that new custom-tailored outfit? New clothes offered to you as a gift of God by God's Spirit that resides within your heart. Said another way, are you going to, as a follower of Jesus, are you going to settle for putting on ill-fitting clothes? Clothes that can no longer fit your abounding heart. Are you going to try to squeeze into those old rags? Or will you choose to put on your baptismal best? Clothes that you received from God as a gift. God, who is pure love. Grinch or who? That's the question Seuss asks us. Old clothes or new clothes? This is the question Paul the Apostle asks of you and of me. In our text today, Paul asks his question. And then Paul does something wonderful. He proceeds to open these packages. I can imagine they look colored. They're colored and tinseled like our Christmas packages under our Christmas trees. He then opens these packages and he shows the community at Ephesus, what's your new clothes look like? Each time he opens one of these packages and shows the new baptismal outfit, it's an invitation to try it on. First package to be opened, your new outfit, a crisp t-shirt with a one-word message, truth. Truth. Paul wrote, put away all falsehood and speak the truth in love. Now, dealing in truth and speaking the truth can be difficult. This can be a difficult t-shirt to put on each and every day, especially this time of year, the holiday season. Yes, Aunt Lois, I love that fruitcake that you got me, and I just can't wait to dig into it. It's hard to be truthful during this season. Oh, Santa, thanks so much for the gift of underwear and socks. So much more practical than that Xbox that I really wanted. Yes, speaking the truth is difficult in this season of gift giving and receiving. But as part of our baptismal duds, we are called to be people whose swearing should only consist of swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. In a noisy world of gossip, slander, half-truths, fake news, as residents not of Whoville, but as residents of Waterville, we are called to put on this garment as part of our baptismal wear, the truth. And as we put on this garment, we are invited to face the most difficult truth that you'll ever face in your life. And that's the truth. When you look inside and behold the brokenness, the truth that you and I, no matter how we look today, we are in need of God's grace. Grace upon grace that enables all of us to cooperate with God to put back the pieces of our brokenness within. This is a hard truth, but it's a beautiful truth. Because when you're willing to see it, it is a truth that will certainly set you free. The second Christmas gift that Paul opens to show us our new clothing, tailor-made for us by the Spirit of God, is actually a fancy watch. That's the second part of your baptismal outfit. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Now, anger, righteous anger, is not inappropriate for Christian people. Anger about injustice, the exploitation of people, the world's resources, it is found throughout our scriptures. Heck, righteous anger was the morning coffee for prophets like Moses, Jeremiah, Amos, John the Baptizer, and all the rest of the prophets we find in our Bibles. But this watch reminds us that when we become angry, we are called to deal with it in a healthy way. What this watch that we've been given in our baptism reminds us of is that our anger is to have a short shelf life. You see, friends, anger needs to be dealt with in a healthy manner. If it is suppressed, if we attempt in vain to sleep on it, that anger is cancer for the soul. In the end, it cannot be sustained. A vibrant, growing spiritual relationship cannot be sustained if we do not confront and deal with anger we have toward others in a healthy way. The third package, waiting for your opening and your wearing, is a pair of work gloves, a practical gift for your baptismal duds. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, work with your hands. Or what he would say to the church called Epworth in the 21st century, work hard with your brains and your fingers as well. You see, in our baptism, the nature of work is made crystal clear for us. Work is a divine gift. And that's why Christians, we need to have the reputation for being the best workers wherever we're called to serve. For you see, in our baptism, we understand that gift is a work. Work is a gift. It not only enables us to care for ourselves, care for those closest to us, our families, but Paul reveals that the reason for our hard work in acquiring resources is that as an act of grace, the grace that we have received from God, we are to share those resources with those who are in need. So put on those crisp gloves. Go to work. Be the best worker wherever you serve. Kindness is the next new garment that Paul unwraps and invites us to try on. As part of your daily wear, kindness changes you, and it changes everyone you interface with. Teresa of Calcutta actually helps us to put on this sweater of kindness that not only warms our own soul, but it warms the soul of those that we connect with. Teresa says, let no one ever come to you without leaving happier and better. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face. Kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile. You can't go wrong with Mother Teresa. You look absolutely fabulous when you are wearing that sweater of kindness, a sweater that warms your own soul and makes better the person you interact with. And finally, and because my baptismal watch, I'm also a Methodist minister, it has a second hand. My baptismal watch tells me that I'm to take care of anger issues before I go to bed, before sunset. There's another dial that says, you all like worship to be over in 1 hour. So I could talk about some other gifts. But I'm going to one more accessory to your baptismal clothing. And this is the perfect accessory, because it ties together your outfit in a beautiful way. A necklace with a charm of a heart. Put on love, Paul says. It truly is the foundation for the rest of your outfit. It's the focus of your new clothing. clothing that you received, had waiting for you when you passed through saving waters. Grinch or who? Old, soiled, misfitting rags to put on, or a new tailor-fit outfit that has been custom-made to fit your abounding heart? Your choice, my choice. Let me commend to you today, both to you and me, the choice to consciously put on this spectacular outfit at this very moment and for every day of the rest of your life. Every opportunity God gives you to open your eyes in the morning after a long winter's nap, choose daily to put on your baptismal best. You have these clothes, these gorgeous clothes laid out for you daily, and actually they have another purpose. You want to be wearing your very best for that soon coming day of redemption that Paul alludes to, that coming day of homecoming, that coming day when the Christ makes his next appearance. And when you think about it, being dressed to impress, dressed ready for the next appearance of the Christ, isn't that what this season of Advent is all about?